Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another edition of Talking Metal, guys. How are you? And before we get into the episode, we are going to thank everyone on Patreon who supports me. We are at 50. We did it. We got to 50 supporters. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. I know there's some of you non-patron supporters out there who don't like to hear the laundry list of people on these episodes. So guess what? There's a fast forward button right there on your iPhone. You can jump ahead. And I am not going to stop saying the names of the people who support me. Just want to make that clear, because they are very important to what I do here, and I value each and every one of them. And I am talking about our latest person who helped us hit number 50, Adrian Kuziak. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Please tell me how to pronounce it, Adrian. But thank you. Thank you. And welcome to the club. Dane Damage, thank you very much. Madison Hatter, Seth B., who is actually on this episode today. Alan Janssen, Henry Reeves, a.k.a. Hank Reeves. John Simpson, Huckney Jacobson, John Barron, Ed Ferguson, Denny Striegel, Patrick Sabin, Jerry from Salt Lake City, Blue Walsh 21, Victor Guzman, Glenn Watson, Gene Eugene DX, Sean Richmond, Mario Charance, Andrew Miller, Jeremy Weltman, Chris Riley, Johan Erdestrom, Stephen Rodriguez, Tommy Anderson, Gregory Muse, Kenny McCrimmon, Leo from Alaska, Brad Dahl from Utah, who is today in New Jersey, believe it or not. Dan Gerwan, Jerry from Long Island, Sam Soupy, Drake, Matt Carroll, Joe Ryan, Jason Seth, Stephen Saylor, Ron Keel, Jean-Francois Blas, Anthony Mackie, or Blah, I think it's Blah, Jean-Francois Blah, Anthony Mackie, James Bennett, David Gray, Fred Roots, Michael Street, Mike Jones, Steve Hoker, Jean Wovari, and Metal Dan. Thank you, guys. Let's get into the episode. All right, so we did a survey on Patreon. I threw out some records, that's how old I am, albums, right? And had people vote. What I did was I gave them a choice of 4 albums and said that we would do a Zoom call discussion on the album that won. So the choices were Born Again by Black Sabbath, Holy Diver by Dio, Defenders of the Faith by Judas Priest, Anima by Tool. Tool got 4% of the vote. Defenders of the Faith got 25% of the vote. Born Again by Black Sabbath got 21% of the vote. And Holy Diver won the survey by 50%, which means today we are going to feature a Zoom discussion with some of my supporters on Patreon about the great record Holy Diver by Dio. Released in 1983, unbelievable, May 25th, 1983. So good, so good. I cannot believe it. And in a lot of ways, possibly, I think, you know, it's hard to say, but I think it's his best work of anything he did outside. I mean, not outside of Black Sabbath and Rainbow. And I mean, that says a lot, because let's face it, the Heaven and Hell album, the Mob Rules album, those are great, great albums. But I think Holy Diver may have those beat in my book by just a little bit. So, so good. And we're going to talk with some people who know their stuff, some people who have a history with this record today, some people who have a personal connection to me because they support me on Patreon. We're going to get into that discussion about Holy Diver in just a few minutes. I had two guests booked for this show, and they both were no-shows. They both blew me off. James Rivera of Hellstar, he had a personal situation, so I get it, but he had to cancel suddenly, spur of the moment. We're going to try to do a makeup interview with him. We'll see if that materializes. And I had another guy from a band called Vreid, V-R-E-I-D, Jarli. And he declined my call, even though the interview had been booked and confirmed by the publicist just days before. So there you go. Sorry, guys. Drives me nuts when we can't keep interviews that we have booked. And yeah, just because my time is so limited and precious. And I hate wasting people's time. And I hate when my time gets wasted. But maybe we'll get a makeup interview with these guys and get them back on. We have some promising other guests who will probably be on the show. Charlie from Anthrax has been emailing me, been going back and forth. Sounds like he wants to come on. So that'll be a cool one. Still haven't given up on Gary Holt. Trying to work that. And we're going to have a former member of Guns N' Roses, who's never been on the podcast before, joining me this week, supposedly. I hope that happens. So we will we'll keep it short today and just keep it mostly about Holy Diver, which, again, just such a great record, produced by Ronnie James Dio. He got the producer credit on that. Remember, he'd worked with Martin Birch on the previous two albums that he'd studio albums that he'd done with Black Sabbath, but he stepped it up, man. And the production is great on this record, and we're going to get into a full discussion about Holy Diver by Dio in just a few minutes. Let's go to Blabbermouth and see what is going on in the world of metal. I did want to mention, if any of you guys are into like stoner, like hard rock, you know, just kind of like stoner rock with like kind of a metal overtone, but I wouldn't really call it metal. You know, it's got that more like lo-fi, like 70s production. Definitely do yourself a favor and check out the new release by the band Green Leaf, G-R-E-E-N-L-E-A-F, one word. It's called Echoes from Mass. Echoes from Mass. Really, really freaking good. So definitely check that out if you are into like, you know, that like stoner kind of vibe. I think these guys are from Sweden, but yeah, I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint it because I hear 70s elements, but I also hear like desert rock, you know, California stoner vibe elements, and just really got their own thing going on. And leave it to Sweden. They give us so much great music, that country, the Swedes. Just great stuff. And just a quick look at Blabbermouth, and then we'll get into the interview. And I apologize, there's no interviews with artists today. It's just interviews with my friends on Patreon. But there's going to be a benefit concert for Exodus drummer Tom Hunting to be held in Sacramento. That's great to hear. Man, he's going through some stuff right now, and I just really hope he can recover quickly. And I know medical bills are a concern. There's a GoFundMe page which is up on Blabbermouth, and it's really upsetting when you hear about a musician that you love or anyone you love who is sick. And Tom is suffering from, I don't even know how to pronounce it, squamous cell. I don't know. It sounds like a form of cancer. I'm not going to try. It's a gastric tumor, basically, in his upper stomach. So all the best to Tom. We know he can pull through. I jammed with him once. We did Seek and Destroy. He was actually singing and doing backup vocals with Rob Dukes. It was a fun day, a good memory. And I've seen him many times in concert with the Mighty Exodus. And we wish Tom all the best. Concerts are returning, guys. I'm thinking of going to see Jordan from Dream Theater do a solo show in a couple weeks. So it's interesting to see concerts come back. And I'm ready, man. I'm so ready. I'm vaccinated. I'm ready to rock. I hope you guys are too. Rob Halford's as Judas Priest is working on a very potent new record. We've got a bunch of great ideas. Can't wait. Can't wait for new Priest. AC/DC's Brian Johnson joined the Foo Fighters recently on stage for a performance of Back in Black. How awesome is that? And that was at a concert in, I believe, Los Angeles. It was to raise awareness about the vaccine, which hopefully we're all getting that, right? Gojira has announced the fall 2021 headlining tour with Knocked Loose and Alien Weaponry. Gojira is awesome live. I've seen them 3 times. So freaking good. So good. So there's some headlines for you. Let's get into a discussion right now about Ronnie James Dio's album, the band Dio's album, because it was more than just Ronnie, and we're going to get into that right now. Holy Diver. Here we go. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we are doing a discussion on Holy Diver with my patrons from the Patreon team. They support me on Patreon each month. But we're talking about the album Holy Diver, the first album to come out under the Dio banner, the Dio band, if you will. And obviously, Ronnie left Black Sabbath after what we consider 2 successful records. And I mean, artistically and through time, they've become such classics. But we have to remember back at that time in history, Sabbath was struggling. They weren't filling arenas with Dio like they had been numerous years before with Ozzy. They were not the cool band anymore. They were kind of the old, you know, the old timers from the 70s. They were probably 30 years old or in their 30s at this time. So they were really kind of struggling. So it is interesting that those records, I believe the love of them among the metal fan base grew through the years, and we now recognize what classics they were. But Ronnie and Iommi, you know, they were fighting over the mix of the final record that they were doing together at that time. Of course, Ronnie got back in the band later for Dehumanizer, and then of course Heaven and Hell. But yeah, man, and when I say Heaven and Hell, I mean the band Heaven and Hell, not the album. But those albums, Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules, I mean, they're so good, but I feel like Heaven and Hell still kind of had that 70s vibe, which in 1980, 1981 wasn't a cool thing anymore. And Mob Rules to me took 1 step closer to being 80s metal, but still had that kind of bluesy element going at times. But by the time Ronnie had released Holy Diver, he had truly landed in the 80s metal sound and scene and was embracing that. And just a real interesting time for Ronnie James Dio making that transition truly into an 80s metal artist, and in some ways being more successful than he had ever been in the past with those first 2 solo records. I mean, he was just really just all over MTV, and we're going to get into talking with Andrew, who is from Canada, Andrew Miller. He's a supporter on Patreon. And tell me, you remember, you told me before we started here that you remembered seeing the video on a video program for a song off of Holy Diver. So let's talk about that. When do you first remember hearing music from the Holy Diver record, and how did it affect you?
Well, it was on a video show out of Maine that was on our local cable channel. So we had Chuck Foster's All Hit Videos, and he was really good about having metal videos on the show, so made sure I always watched it. And I think it was Rainbow in the Dark was the first thing I heard. And it was like, it kind of stopped me in my track. It's like, you know, what is this? You know, to what you were saying, I didn't really pay attention to the Dio Sabbath. I kind of checked out. I guess I kind of stayed with Ozzy when he started doing his thing. But
had you been a fan of Sabbath when Ozzy was in the band? I don't know how old you are, Andrew, but were you old enough to remember Ozzy being in Sabbath?
Yeah, I'm 56, but my oldest brother was a huge Sabbath fan. So whether I wanted to hear it or not, when I was living still with my parents, it was on when I was that age. So, right. You know, that was a big part of my life growing up. And then I guess I just kind of didn't follow through with Dio, just didn't do it for me or whatever.
And what about your brother? Did he follow through with Dio? Was he on board when Dio entered the band? Because a lot of fans weren't.
No, he was done too, I guess, you know, and maybe his thing was what kind of reflected on me, because he's quite a bit older than I am too. So.
Right on. Yeah. Right on. Very, very cool. And did you immediately run out and buy the record? Did you follow through with the next record, Last in Line? How long did you stay with Dio? Have you been a fan ever since? Like, let's talk about just your history with Dio.
Yeah, no, literally. So that video would have been on a Saturday night, and I'm sure on Monday I was in the record store.
Wow.
Buying the album, because it was so cool. And I just, you know, I wanted to hear more. And you know, songs like, you know, Holy Diver, Don't Talk to Strangers, stuff like that just really spoke to me. And I never, you know, I never went back to the Black Sabbath stuff until much later. And I don't understand why now that I've listened to it. Maybe it's because I'm older. I don't know. But right. I stayed a fan. Like, as soon as the next album came out, I bought it and stayed with them. And you know, always kind of look for stuff. Absolutely.
Awesome. Cool. And I want to hop over to Ed. Ed, where are you checking in from? And can you tell us your memories or emotional connection or lack of to the Holy Diver record by Dio?
Yeah. Hey, Mark. Calling from Central Kentucky.
Right on.
You know, I was born in 70, so I was like 13 when this came out. A lot of stuff, though, I didn't pick up on until maybe like 84.
Right.
I went to a private school where there were no other kids that listened to metal.
Yeah.
So, of course, I knew the big things like Kiss and AC/DC, but I wasn't hearing Black Sabbath and everything new that was coming out during those times. But I remember having this compilation tape from 1984 called Masters of Metal. And it had Rainbow in the Dark on there. And that was probably one of the heavier songs besides Iron Maiden on that record. I remember that, you know, Rainbow in the Dark is a pretty intense tune as well. And I've always liked the heavier, the better. So I like that tune a lot. And about the same time, the Last in Line video was being played on MTV. And of course, and not just, I love Dio from the beginning.
Right.
You know, I think Dio to me is the greatest heavy metal singer ever. It's really hard to top him. And on top of that, I love Vivian Campbell. Being a guitar player, I love his style. And he's amazing on these records. It's a shame they couldn't work it out and keep going, you know, as a band after Sacred Heart. Because, you know, Dio with Vivian Campbell is just a wonderful duo.
I am with you 100%. And one of the things that to me makes those three records, especially the first two, Holy Diver and Last in Line, so intense, is not only Ronnie James Dio's vocals, which are just incredible, and his sense of melody and everything else that he puts into those songs, but those players have such distinct personalities. I mean, Vivian Campbell with his guitar playing was just, you knew it was Vivian. He had a sound, he had a tone. And I mean, even Jimmy Bain on the bass, he's a very simple bass player. I mean, he's not Geddy Lee or Steve Harris by any stretch of the imagination, but he had something about his tone, his sound, his style, the things he'd do with Vinny Appice, who, again, just such a unique drummer. His little fills just have so much personality and character. And, you know, the way that Bain would hit these bass notes, like boom, boom, with the drums, it just all worked together. And I feel like all those guys were very responsible for making these records what they were, which was just so great. And especially Holy Diver, which we're talking about today. And I didn't mean to cut you off, Ed. Were any other thoughts on the record?
Oh yeah. I mean, several standout tracks. You know, Stand Up and Shout, what an amazing tune to start the record off with. Being a thrash metal head, I noticed too that particular song, when you listen to the guitar riffs in it, it could have been on Kill 'Em All. You know, if you add a thrash metal drummer and maybe someone like Tom Araya on vocals, someone could redo this as a really cool thrash metal tune. And right out of the gate, Vivian shreds away on that guitar solo. But then you go to the next, you know, iconic track, Holy Diver, and Vivian shows his other melodic side in that guitar solo. And he creates guitar solos that you can sing from memory, you know, when you're living your day. It's really a 5-star record. It's great tracks all the way to the end.
Yeah. I mean, even some of the deep cuts, like Caught in the Middle, I remember was one that I always felt could have been a single. Don't Talk to Strangers, so haunting. And it was, you know, like you said, the heaviness of Stand Up and Shout, but there was also like just haunting moments on like songs like Don't Talk to Strangers. And
in particular, Don't Talk to Strangers, go back and listen to that guitar solo. It starts off with a slow melodic solo that he builds into a shred fest at the end. And, and Vivian is a picker. You know, he does some of the hammer-ons and pull-offs, but he also adds a lot of that alternate picking. So it adds a lot of character to the way he plays.
Great observation, Ed. And also, what you were saying there made me think of something. There were a lot of these 70s era guys and bands, people like Thin Lizzy and you could even throw Judas Priest in there, that were very aware of what happened with the new wave of British heavy metal scene in the UK, and also what was currently going on in the States in towns, you know, like Los Angeles and probably really throughout the States, where there was this underground metal movement that was starting to seep into the mainstream happening. And I really feel like, you know, you look at those late Thin Lizzy records, they tried to capitalize on that and become a little more metal and put out some great material, in my opinion, but they didn't quite break through. But Ronnie James Dio hit it out of the park with Holy Diver and again seemed to really embrace the younger and newer sounds and definitely had his ear to the street, if you will, in my humble opinion. And yeah, bringing in 19 years old, Vivian Campbell. I mean, bringing him into the fold there, absolutely a big step to say, hey, we're not old timers. I may be in my mid-30s or whatever Dio was at that time, you know, but he definitely brought in a youthful element with Vivian. And that is felt throughout this record, which just shakes you when you listen to it. And especially as a teenager. Wow. Let's jump over. Brad, how are you, man? And I wanted to give a shout out back to Andrew. I definitely saw the Talking Metal t-shirt. Thank you for supporting, Andrew. And Ed, of course, has his Dio stuff albums up in the background. That looks awesome. You got the camera just perfect here on Zoom, Ed. But Brad, let's jump over to you. What do you remember about this record? I know you were listening to hard rock and heavy metal probably in the late 70s, right? So you definitely were a part of, you know, the music culture and very aware of what was happening musically in our at least in the United States, right, in California. When do you remember discovering Holy Diver?
It's a great question, Mark. And hey, everybody, how's it going?
Hey.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that I was actually in Tennessee when this album came out. I was serving a Mormon mission.
Wow.
And as a missionary, we're not supposed to listen to rock music. Not because it's bad or anything, but because we're supposed to be focusing on being a missionary. So the first I heard of this album was we go around knocking on doors and some people let us in.
Right.
And this is back when MTV was everywhere. Okay. So you go into a house and MTV was on, and we were at somebody's house and Rainbow in the Dark hymns on. And I'm like, what the heck is this? I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea Dio was out of Sabbath, whatever. And I just had to stop everything. I got to listen to this song. And was just totally slayed by it. I mean, it was incredible. All three of you guys have kind of touched upon my points of the greatness of this album. But I really think that this is kind of a prototype album. I mean, it certainly draws from influences of a lot of different things. But it is such a unique album. I mean, you can't listen to it and go, oh, that sounds just like that, or that sounds just like this. You know, it's not like Ronnie came out of Sabbath and he just took what they were doing in Sabbath and moved on. Kind of like what he did when he was in Sabbath the second time And then, you know, his solo albums sounded just like, you know, what he was doing in Sabbath before that. So very unique, very very different songs. And the thing about this CD or album is that every song on here is good. I mean, there's nothing in here you would throw away. The sound quality of this is fantastic. It says Ronnie did all the production. He makes a big deal out of saying that he wrote all the lyrics and all the melody lines. Like, okay, way to go, Ronnie. I mean, what would you expect? But I thought that was kind of funny. There's a lot of slapping right on the back going on in the liner notes here.
Yeah.
But that was probably, it could be his wife too doing that, not him. But the band itself, I just have to say that the band itself is incredible, that he put together the perfect musical unit. I recently watched a concert from their very first tour. I think it was in Holland. You can find it on YouTube, and it's definitely worth a watch. And how good this band was live is just unbelievable. And of course, having this material to draw on, it's really quite kind of a shame when they play a Rainbow song or they play a Black Sabbath song. It's like, no, you should play more Dio songs. You should play that whole album with this band, because they were that good. And anyway, those are the things for me that made this. I mean, number one, great songs. Number two, great production. Number three, great band. And
right on.
I don't think he's ever topped this, although I do really like the second album as well. I think it's equal or, I don't know.
The Last in Line. Yep.
Last in Line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
record.
This album is fantastic. Somebody did send me a tape of this. So I did get to listen to the whole album before I returned.
Oh, right. So, when you're out on the mission.
Just blown away.
Right. Wow. I love the diversity of our supporters on Patreon. That's a great story that you were out spreading the word of Mormonism, right? But at the same time,
Jesus, actually. We're talking about Jesus here.
Jesus, gotcha. Hey,
and I was dangerously close to Kentucky, by the way.
Oh, okay. Ed, watch out. Yeah. And you mentioned the sound quality of the record, and it is important probably to remember that this was recorded at a very famous studio called Sound City Studios in California. How do you say that? Brad Van Nuys?
Van Nuys. It's out in the valley.
Yeah. And there's a great documentary on this studio. And I think actually, I don't know. I don't think Ronnie's in the documentary, but I think Vinny Appice is talking about the studio and that board in Sound City. The studio was just known as this magic soundboard that from Fleetwood Mac all the way to Ronnie James Dio just got this rich, rich sound and just so many great bands recorded in this studio. And again, there's a great documentary out that a friend of mine actually worked on. His name is Jim Rhoda, and he's in a band called Fireball Ministry. He's also like a TV film guy. But, you know, After the Gold Rush by Neil Young, recorded on that same soundboard that Holy Diver was recorded on, you know, Hard Promises by Tom Petty, Precious Time by Pat Benatar, Foreigner's Double Vision record were all recorded in this studio. Elton John recorded there. Fleetwood Mac recorded there, as I mentioned. So definitely a really historic studio that just gave us so much great music. Again, that Sound City. But yeah, anyways, thank you, Brad. And Brad, guys, has his own streaming radio station, Yarg Metal. There's a new app out for that, which is working great. So everyone needs to download the Yarg Metal app in the app store on iTunes?
Well, yeah, or in Google Store, too. And it's Yarg !! Radio is the new app.
Oh, okay.
So, cool. Yeah, you'll see the green kind of logo with the black Yarg in there. So yeah, everybody should download it, check it out, let me know what you think. We do play a lot of Dio. We play, obviously, right now we're playing a lot of Black Sabbath. So
awesome. Cool. Hey, Drake, how are you, man?
Doing good. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you great. Now I know you're a little bit younger of a guy, or maybe I should say quite a bit. And we love anyone really under the age of 40, in my opinion, who loves metal needs to be absolutely celebrated. So we celebrate you and we appreciate your support on Patreon and all your insights coming from a younger mind and soul. So obviously you weren't even alive when this record came out. So let's nowhere close.
I was like a decade before I was born.
Yeah.
So this is like kind of something that's always just kind of been in my life. So like when you ask the other guys, you know, when's the first time they heard it, I can't really recall the first time like I heard the actual song Holy Diver. So it's always kind of been there. But my group of metalheads I grew up with in middle school and high school was just kind of something that was always just there. So I remember the first time really getting into Dio was actually in like my buddy's basement. On we have a radio station up here. I'm just like half an hour above Seattle. It's called 99.9. And back when I was in high school, they used to play a lot of metal at night. And so when we would be partying on the weekends, they would be playing metal like Pantera and, you know, Black Sabbath and Dio. I remember me and my group buddies would just gather around the radio and just sit there and headbang and like, you know, like
drinking
beer, just like to the Vivian Campbell guitar solo, just like freaking out. Like, this is amazing, you know? And so, yeah, that was always like a really good memory. And, you know, Dio actually died on my birthday, my senior year.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I've always had like a really strong connection with him. Just with that, and just, you know, it's always been there as far for me.
Right on. Were your parents into metal, or was it something you
not at all? Not at all. My dad listened, like the heaviest stuff my dad really listened to when I was growing up was like Smashing Pumpkins and like Nirvana. My mom listened to like a lot of like Matchbox 20, actually, stuff like that. So like when I got into metal, it was really like classic metal I got into that really drove it home for me. I was listening to a lot of like Kiss, a lot of Scorpions. AC/DC has been my favorite band since I was 11, you know, and I was listening to just all that really good stuff. And Black Sabbath, I remember, was like the first metal band to me that just took it home for me, and that's what drove my need. And then I got into stuff like Iron Maiden in eighth grade and stuff like that. And I remember started getting albums like Lamb of God and Peace of Mind and stuff like that for Christmas. It just took me off from there.
It's awesome. Well, we love that you are flying the metal flag for a younger generation. I think that's so awesome. And again, thanks for your constant support on Patreon and Twitter, Drake. I do want to move on. I just got a message. We are down to our last approximately 8 minutes here.
Okay.
Cuts off, and I do want to give Seth. Let's jump over to Seth in Kansas, and then we're going to hit Metal Dan after that. Seth, how are you, man? I know I've seen you in Jeff Pilson's meditation class on Mondays. I'm going to be back this Monday doing it again, so I'm glad you discovered that. Jeff Pilson, a guy who worked with Dio many years after the album we're talking about, Holy Diver. But Seth, what are some of your memories and personal? What's your personal relationship with the Holy Diver record by Dio?
Yeah, I'm just a tiny bit behind you and Ed in age. So the first Dio album that I bought as a current album was Sacred Heart, which I see Ed has up in the background. So even though I think it's not as good an album, it's my sentimental favorite. You know how that goes. But I kind of rediscovered how much I love this album a couple of years ago when I saw Last in Line with Vivian and Vinny in the band. And just kind of fell in love with it all over again and gave it kind of deep listens that I'm not sure I had before.
Whatever you think of, you know, Last in Line's studio albums, I mean, and that's a whole another discussion, is fine. But when you see that band live, which I've seen three times, and they bust out those Dio songs, it is awesome.
Yeah, they were ferocious with it. The couple songs that I'll mention that have been touched on just a little bit, because I know we want some time for Metal Dan. I think people have, so I got to say, I am here for all the stuff about Dio that sometimes people roll their eyes about, like bring on the castles, bring on the drippy keyboards, bring on the wolf.
Right on.
I'm here for all of it. But on this album, I really love Straight Through the Heart, and I really love Stand Up and Shout, because they're spare, they're riff heavy. There's a lot of open space that Ronnie's singing into with drums just picking up at the end of the pause. So those are the songs that I come back to over and over.
Right on, right on. And again, Gypsy is another one I want to mention, which just a lot of power in that. Caught in the Middle, which again, I thought should have been a single. Shame on the Night, which ends the album. Wow. I mean, what an epic closer. I can't help but wonder if when Ronnie was in Sabbath, he was looking over his shoulder and saw the success, the much greater success that Ozzy Osbourne was having as a solo artist, and wondered, hey, maybe it's time for me to go that same route, get a great guitar player, get a great band, and kind of do the thing that Ozzy is doing. But who knows? We'll never know that for sure. But Metal Dan, my longest running supporter on Patreon, hey, thank you for your support, Metal Dan. And let's talk about Holy Diver. When do you remember hearing this album for the first time? And what is your personal relationship with the record?
Hey, super great. Couldn't be better. Yeah, you got me on audio?
Yes. Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah. I came AT 1983, listening to it on the radio and probably MTV. I think those two before. So I was 15 years old in Southern California. And yeah, it struck. I knew of Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules before that.
Where in Southern California?
I'm near Disneyland.
Oh, which just reopened. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. But I knew of Ronnie. But when this album came out, it sounded to me at 15 years old. What do I know? It sounded heavier and something darker than ever before. But now I look back and it's kind of the same. So I don't know what I was thinking, but as a kid, yeah, that album, I remember riding just like you, Mark, 7 miles across town on our BMX bikes to go pick up the tapes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was such devotion to the music, and the fact that it wasn't as easily accessible, I think sometimes may have added value to it. You know, just when you rode your bike and use that paper route money to go buy a record and then got it home, it wasn't just throwaway. You were going to listen to it numerous times, which I think sometimes with good music, it takes numerous times to really get sucked into to what it's all about. So yeah, great, great stuff, Metal Dan. And I love the posters you got up in the back. You got some Maiden there, some Alice Cooper, Overkill. Great yep. stuff.
My claim to fame, I never met Ronnie, but I did meet Jimmy Bain, and it was brief. It was at a BC Rich guitar signing thing. I don't remember much about it. He looked the way he always looked, which is probably drunk or tired or whatever, but he was incredibly nice to me, and he spent a few minutes, so that's all it took. I imagine I would have now met Dio on one of the cruises or something like that. So
yeah. Yeah. Cool. I had the opportunity to meet Dio really only once, and I have a picture of myself with a kind of a bad perm at the time, me and Ronnie, and he was signing basically after Sacred Heart came out. Craig Goldie at some point, I guess during that tour, came in and took over for Vivian Campbell, and they then released a live EP which had one new song on it called Time to Burn, and they did a in-store signing of that, and I waited in line and got to meet Ronnie, had my actual camera with friend snapped a picture of me and Ronnie, and I remember Bane at that time just looking really out of it, and I assume he was like really hungover is the vibe I got many years later. But definitely a guy who lived large, and a lot of people, I don't know if this is verified, but the story is he played bass on the song Rock You Like a Hurricane by the Scorpions. Now, if you listen to that bass sound, especially at the beginning with the boom, boom, it's very Holy Diver, the last in line sounding, the bass part of that and the way the bass is working with the drums. So I think that's, I don't, we'd have to verify that on online, but I like to believe that that's Jimmy Bain on that song doing some session work, because it sounds like him. I mean, it definitely, he had such a unique, simple sound, And yeah, really sad about what happened with them going out on the Def Leppard tour and Jimmy passing away there. And oh, you got your shirt on too there, Metal Dan. I see the Talking Metal shirt. Yeah, great. But you guys are awesome. And thank you again for all the support. We have less than a minute on our Zoom call here. I will have to, I guess, upgrade to the pay Zoom account so we can get more time in next time. But it's great to talk with you guys. And it's always great to, you know, chat with you on Patreon. And again, just thank you so much for all your support.
Thank you, Mark.
Cool.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, bad perm is redundant, Seth says.
Yeah, but we all had.
Yeah. I only had a few. My friend used to get one every like month, and he lost his hair really early. So I always thought that maybe that had something to do. Yeah, it can't be, right? All right, guys.
Back that up.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys, well, enjoy the rest of your weekend. And thanks for spending some time with me here to talk about one of our favorite records, Holy Diver by Dio. Now I'm going to go, I think, crank it right now. Listen to it. Can't wait. Thanks, guys.
Great to see you guys.
See you guys.
Talk to you later.
Big thanks to everyone who joined me from the Patreon page to talk about one of my favorite records, Holy Diver. Big thanks to you for listening. And thanks for your patience. I know we have had kind of a lack of guests these past couple weeks. Stick with me, guys. There's going to be some big ones coming, I promise you. We're going to get some good names on here for you, and I will not let you down. Your support means the world to me. Take care. Have a great week, guys. Talk to you soon.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.